At Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, both members and partners are considered family. They're a national financial institution serving thousands of members in all 50 states, and they'd like a chance to serve relevant radio listeners as well. Call toll-free 844-237-6611.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us so much here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio. A great hour lined up for you. We're going to talk about taking care of business. We're going to talk investing and more and being a good steward of your money. That's with Bill Ulivieri later this hour. Father Matthew Crane, though, the proud of Browerville, Minnesota, patrolling as a priest would up and down Highway 71 in parts of the St. Cloud Diocese, joining us today to answer your questions about faith and talk a little bit about the Holy Father helping us to take care of those less fortunate as well. Hello, Father.
Hello. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, great to have you along as well. Spring has finally sprung in parts of Minnesota after a very cool last several weeks or months.
Yes, definitely. No, it looks like it's going to be an excellent day this morning. And things are starting to blossom. Things are starting to bloom. There's hope in the air, and the long Minnesota winter that, you know, hurts your face and makes you question why people moved west, that's over.
You know, there's probably a little bit of, I'm sure, you know, with the agricultural background for the upper Midwest, probably a lot of faith that goes into surviving a sometimes harsh climate, but some of the joys, the spiritual joys that can come with a climate that features four seasons, you get to kind of see that cycle of life, and your hope is renewed every spring when those dark branches spring to life with green once again.
And there's an appreciation too, Glenn, of our true state. I mean, I think, you know, when you're outside of those agricultural rhythms, certainly not always, not even necessarily, but it's possible for you to kind of turn a little bit inward, you know, and start to think of yourself with a self-sufficiency that we don't actually have. But I find that my parishioners out here, you know, steeped, as you point out, in an agricultural form of life, they really realize our dependence. Every single one of us has a great dependence upon God. And so as the seasons change, there's, you know, that comes as an expression of gratitude for them. They say, all right, you know, isn't this great? I'm sure I'll hear it many times today as I'm moving among the three parishes that I pastor. People will say, isn't this a beautiful day? Thanks be to God for a day like this.
You know, and talking about the weather in Minnesota isn't just a matter of nothing else to talk about, but you're like really happy that we're all, you know, all the fingers and toes are still there. They haven't frozen off during the winter, and things are still moving as they should. But today we want to invite folks to call if they have questions. Our number is 877-766-3777, 877-766-3777. Starting out to chat a little bit, in addition to the wonderful weather in parts of the country here, Father, with what the Holy Father had to say at his Wednesday general audience yesterday, talking about, you know, some kind of hard words here. To ignore the poor is to despise God.
Yeah, this is a continuing piece of Pope Francis's catechesis on mercy, which he's been doing at his general audiences throughout the Year of Mercy. Really, you're right, though. I mean, kind of a blunt statement from the Holy Father, but one which is very true. And one which really caught my attention, because I know, at least for me personally, this is something that I struggle with to some degree, just putting into practice in my life. There's all sorts of places that the church teaches us we can encounter Jesus, places where the church teaches us we can encounter Jesus. I mean, most obviously in his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is present wherever the Word of God is being read or preached. But the Catechism in that same list, Glenn, points to the fact that Jesus is especially present in the poor, that throughout the Gospels, Jesus identifies himself with the poorest, with the weakest, with those who are in some way disenfranchised, or, as Pope Francis would say, with those who are on the margins of their particular culture or society or place. So Pope Francis is not, you know, I mean, I know he's sometimes described as kind of, you know, going out on a limb or really, you know, stretching things a bit or going outside the box, but he's right in line with the most ancient traditions of the church in pointing out that, you know, to despise the poor is in some way to act in a way that rejects God. And, you know, of course, we don't want to be doing that, but I think God's presence in the poor, the face of Christ seen in the poor, is one of those things that, at least I personally, I seem to miss when I, you know, when I do my examination of conscience. I realize, you know, I'm not always as alert to that as I am to, say, the presence of Christ in the Word of God or the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. So, yeah, a bit blunt, a tough teaching, certainly, but one which is very true and, you know, very, very Catholic.
Father Matthew Crane joining us this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Your questions about any matters of faith, welcome at 877-766-3777. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, this is something we ought to do, but when you really get real about it and picture that person sitting on the sidewalk, their back against the wall with a cup out as bearing the face of Christ, and to really think about that, that can do a whole lot more than, yeah, I ought to, you know?
Yeah, and it's, but we... That's the call. We have to put that into practice. I mean, Glenn, you know, even when I was with the other places where we encounter Jesus, that I was talking about a moment ago, the Word of God or in the Blessed Sacrament, we, you know, physically act on those realities as well. You know, Catholics will genuflect before a tabernacle, for instance. So there's some way in which we habituate our recognition. We use our whole body in a way that sort of practices and says, okay, yes, I recognize that this is Jesus present here, as a sort of training, if you will, for that moment on the last day when we stand up and see the face of God and are before the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ. When we come to that moment, the idea is, having practiced recognizing him throughout our earthly life, we're ready to recognize him and respond in a right way when we step across that threshold into eternal life. But yeah, when you see that person, the poor person, the disenfranchised person, the marginalized person, maybe very obviously like you were describing, with their back against the wall and the cup out asking for an alms, but maybe even more subtly, that person who may be, you know, comfortable, middle class, a member of our parish, but for whatever reason, kind of disenfranchised from the parish, you know, maybe new to the community, or maybe, you know, regrettably, there's something in their history where they've kind of been shunned, they've kind of been pushed to the side of the community. That's an individual who's in a kind of poverty. That's an individual who's marginalized. And so we have to practice recognizing Christ in that person, too, in order to be ready to stand up on the last day. I mean, Francis's catechesis yesterday was very pointed. He used the story of poor Lazarus and the rich man, and he noted how the rich man had habituated an incorrect relationship to Lazarus. He recounts that moment after the rich man has died and he's in torment, and seeing Lazarus over in heaven across the great abyss, he asks if Lazarus might just bring him a cup of water in order to quench his thirst. And Pope Francis, again, you know, with a striking bluntness, says, see how the rich man still doesn't understand his relationship to Lazarus. He still sees him as a servant or as someone who is supposed to just be there for him rather than realizing that he, the rich man, was supposed to be there for Lazarus. And so it really, I mean, it kind of gave me a chill, Glenn. I realized, yeah, how easy it is, right, for us to habituate the wrong relationship with those who are poor or those who are marginalized.
And this has always been a hard saying. I mean, looking at that in Scripture through time and the fact that, you know, the Holy Father holding it up as, you know, this is still valid. This is still valid. People think that, well, okay, he hung out with a lot of poor folks in South America, and that's why he's kind of into that thing, that social justice stuff that's his. But this is Scripture that goes back for millennia.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, that's it exactly, Glenn. This is something that goes back to the beginning. I mean, it's when you want to start building the theological argument for the recognition of the special presence of Christ in the poor, you don't go to some council, you know, halfway through the two millennia history of the church. You go to the Bible. It goes right back to the beginning. And you don't, you know, find some particular, you know, two or three passages where you can kind of imply that this teaching is there. Jesus says it, you know. He talks about if you recognize and help and assist those poorest among you, you do this for me. If you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, you do that for me. You know, and think of the great chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, where in that last judgment moment, Jesus points out, look, whenever you did something for the least among you, you did that thing for me. And likewise, when you denied the least among you or failed to do something for you denied me. You failed to do something for me. This is deeply rooted, deeply entrenched in the Christian tradition, in our Catholic faith. And it's a challenge. But, you know, the good news, Glenn, is, you know, even today, even in, you know, hopefully the people who are listening are in a relatively stable situation. You know, they have a pretty sure meal coming somewhere today. They have, you know, relatively stable income. They have some gainful employment, that sort of a thing. Nevertheless, there are always going to be those people who are somehow marginalized, somehow on the edge of the community. So we can practice this today. You know, be on the lookout for that. Be intentional about that. Look for those people who in some way are experiencing some sort of poverty. Recognize the face of Christ in them. Act on that understanding. And believe me, Glenn, there are huge spiritual benefits to be reaped by this. It doesn't just mean that, you know, we'll be ready for the last day. It helps us today. If we're practicing recognizing the presence of Christ in the poor and in the marginalized, that's going to help us recognize the activity of God throughout the entire day today. It's going to train us to see the activity of heaven in our daily lives right now.
Long time ago, the Protestant preacher driving me to lunch with a colleague in a very, very fine automobile, touting God's best for God's best, kind of in the name it and claim it way of doing things. Now, undoubtedly, God does desire great things for his children, but is it maybe, you know, we have the fact the poor will always be with us, said Christ, and part of the role of people who might find themselves playing a poor person at any given time is to help glorify God by being that face of Christ, allowing others to exercise their mercy muscles.
Definitely, definitely. No, I go back to that great line frequently from Monsignor Ronald Knox, the convert, the early 20th century convert to Catholicism. It's, you know, kind of a throwaway line in one of his essays, but it really sticks with me. He says it's a healthy meditation to consider all the ways in which our very existence provokes charity in others, which, in, you know, in the context that he's writing, it's sort of a wry remark. He's saying, hey, you know, be alert to the fact that you may have particular habits or particular needs or idiosyncrasies or whatever you want to call them that kind of irk and disturb the people around you, and just realize that, you know, that's an opportunity for them to practice charity. And so, you know, be sensitive about that. But it's true, right? You know, when our particular poverties or lacks or difficulties are an opportunity for those around us to render aid, to be merciful, to be charitable. And, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed of that. And we should try to remember to respond in kind. You know, I'm struck, Glenn, when I'm working as a priest, how effective it is when I can invite parishioners in large groups or small groups to do something for the marginalized or for the poor. There's often, it seems like there's a great hurdle to getting started in my experience. You know, there's a lot of hesitation. It's hard to get people to sign up for something like that. But invariably, when they do then do something for those who are poor or marginalized, they always come back and say, this changed my life. This really helped me. This was an incredible experience that I want to do again. So, yeah, to try to see those incidents of poverty or those incidents of marginalization, you know, not necessarily as hopeless, but rather as opportunities for charity, as opportunities for mercy.
What a great optimistic way to go about our business, to look at those challenges as opportunities, not just something sad to turn our gaze from. Maybe you've had a good experience with seeing the face of Christ in someone less well off, as we look at what the Holy Father had to say about being kind and generous to the poor in yesterday's general audience. Let us know at 877-766-3777. More with Father Matthew Crane coming up, but a quick break for today's gospel reading as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 9, verses 41 through 50. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink, because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com. Keyword, gospel.
I'm at a moment in my life where things aren't going well, but to know that God has allowed me to carry this cross means that he knows I'm worth something and I'm worth more. And to me, it makes bad things not so bad. It's amazing just to know that when you're being called into the desert, there may be fruit that you did not expect to see, but you have to claim it, you know?
Hope that is only found in Jesus Christ.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
I've always believed that the Lord likes to have you spend some relaxing time with him. I'm Paul Sadek, and every weekday evening on Evensong on Relevant Radio, we wind down with evening prayer, a full chapter of the New Testament, and some music. It's right before the Rosary. Evensong, Monday through Friday evenings at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
We need the healing grace that God has made possible to us and for us.
Monsignor Stuart Sweatland.
Jesus became one with us so that we could be one with God. And that process, the only thing keeping that from happening is us. And so we have to share this good news, and it is such good news. I always tell people, if I had a cure for AIDS or any other terrible disease, cancer, heart disease, whatever, and it only took a few minutes and a few words, the lines would be out the door. Sin is something much worse than AIDS or heart disease or cancer. They only kill the body. Sin kills the soul. And we have the solution. We have the absolute cure. And that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that is ministered in a way that we know with certainty through the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
This is the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
This is Relevant Radio.
Stand by me, walk stand now. Stand by me, stand by me.
We need to stand by the poor. If we listen to Pope Francis, to ignore the poor is to despise God, he said at Wednesday's general audience. Bill Nevern's in for John today as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio, our guest this half hour. An amateur Newman scholar, a blogger, a runner, a poet, and oh yeah, a Catholic priest as well, serving so well in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, joining us today to look at how we handle the poor. Father Matthew Crane, can we take this to mean more than just doing some of the corporal works of mercy, but to help those who are poor in spirit as well?
Most definitely, Glenn. And, you know, we should look for all those different kinds of poverties, those different kinds of marginalizations that occur around us. So yeah, maybe somebody around us is not materially poor, but they do really lack any awareness of the presence of God in their life. Or to go in a sense more basic, or maybe a little bit more visceral would be the right word, they lack a presence of joy, or they lack a presence of concern, or they lack a presence of hope in their life. All those sorts of things are poverties and marginalizations that we can remedy, and that we ought to try to remedy, that we ought to have a concern for, as Pope Francis is pointing out. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in that unfortunate situation of despising God, despising the face of Christ.
And if we can, you know, sometimes get trapped, I don't know if trapped is the right word, but we're kind of hanging out with the same folks all the time, talking about the same things. Had opportunity at a local library, kind of a community book club, to chat with some of those folks, some different perspectives, chatting with some neighbors last night as well, some different perspectives there. And that spiritual poverty is real, and it's out there. And for many parts of our country, you know, people are getting along pretty well, so it might not be the you know, someone needing that next meal, but there is certainly no lack of a need, and Blessed Mother Teresa saw this as well, that what a great poverty we have in so many spiritual ways here in the U.S.
Yes, definitely. No, when she visited the United States, this was one of the points that she brought to the fore, that there was a definite poverty amongst us, not necessarily materially, but spiritually, and we can be alert to that. I mean, I see this, Glenn, and I think it is one of those things where the spiritual poverty, the impoverishment of someone, does become more evident when it is a material poverty. That's certainly true. The spiritual poverties are things which are a little bit more obscure, or maybe a better way to put it is they're a little bit more invisible. They're more readily hidden by those who suffer from them, but nonetheless, those who suffer from them, therefore, bear the face of Christ. I mean, if there's a message of hope that comes from Pope Francis's rather blunt, some people have even said harsh statement yesterday at his general audience, it's that if you do experience that poverty, even a spiritual poverty, in some way, then you are very, very close to Christ. You bear the face of Christ. And if nothing else, that should at least be a point of hope. For each and every one of us, if we are in some sort of poverty, or if we lack something, we bear the face of Christ. So that, you know, right away, that's a good sign that we're going to be okay. Things will be worked out. God is attentive to us.
And really, you know, when we include that along with the material poverty, and just any, you know, need that someone has, maybe they're impoverished for need of a friend at a certain moment during the day, any time that comes about, what a great opportunity to see the face of Christ in everyone, and then also to understand that we play the role of a giving Christ when we're being generous to others, and, you know, let us realize what a great task we have in that role.
Yeah, this is one of the sometimes neglected meanings of the Catholic concept of the communion of saints. When we talk about a communion of saints as Catholics, of course, we're referencing the great body of the sanctified in heaven, those who have, you know, run the race and won the victory, the men and women who have in great ways lived heroic virtue and given their life for Christ. But we also talk about a communion in the sense of maybe like a commonwealth, or it literally means, you know, if you go back to the Latin, more of the concept of a sharing in goods. So when we talk about the communion of saints, a sharing of holy things, we're talking about how as Catholics, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can sort of give Christ back and forth, you know? If we share Christ in some way with someone to alleviate their spiritual poverty, we're giving Christ, but we're also receiving Christ because we're recognizing in that person, that impoverished person, the face of Christ. And that impoverished person is receiving Christ from us through our generosity, through our charity. This is the idea, this is the vision, Glenn, of the kingdom of God, that we would be a community of people giving and receiving Christ, which, you know, that hopefully too is a day brightener. It's kind of takes some of the harshness out of the Holy Father's words.
Yes, it does, to be on the alert, to look for that face of Christ and to be that face of Christ. Thanks for being his voice on the radio for us today. Father Matthew Crane joining us from the Diocese of St. Cloud in Minnesota. We'll talk Holy Father and investing advice after all this poverty talk? Well, we'll see what that's about. Bill Ulivieri joins us next as Morning Air continues right here on Relevant Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-876-1048. That's 800-876-1048, and use the promo code RR for Relevant Radio to get the special buy one my pillow and get one free offer. Or go to mypillow.com and be sure to enter RR in the promo code box to get your free my pillow.
For all of the good that can be shared in social media, there's a lot of hornet's nests waiting to snap and get you. But that's why it's important that we don't just turn everything over to those who would use these tools for negativity.
Elizabeth is the Director of Marketing and Mission Awareness for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
How is one to communicate a proper response in those 144 characters?
You know, read St. Paul and really look at how he communicated with the people. You know, he was speaking out and defending the faith in a time that was very hostile. We have to do so through love. I think if you go out and you dip your toe in the pool of social media, that's going to be important in order to, you know, help evangelize.
I'm really glad you suggest the Pauline letters. That's a great meditative experience, and I hope all of our listeners will do as you're telling us to do.
On Call with Wendy Weiss, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central on Relevant Radio.
Giving voice to our shepherds, Relevant Radio. Bishop David Ricken.
With the new evangelization, each of us has to reach out to those who are broken around us. We too are broken, but we have to reach out to those who are more broken around us and bring them to the light of Christ. Bring them to Sunday Mass with us. Tell them about Christ's love, his salvation, his gift of dying on the cross. To enter ourselves more deeply into these mysteries of our own baptism and of our own commitment. To pray for those who are converting to our faith that they persevere. You are called to reach out to them, to give them this very good news. The day of the Lord is at hand. Repent, convert, turn from your sins, and come and follow Jesus.
Giving voice to our shepherds, Talk Radio for Catholic Life, Relevant Radio.
I'm very grateful to God for the ability to sit behind this microphone and spend my afternoons with you on a daily basis.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
A look at life that I don't think you'll really find anywhere else. I'm able to take a look at everything from archaeology to politics, to pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy. And the spectrum of things we cover is vast. The one principle that I apply to my program is always being able to look at issues through the eyes of our faith. And we can talk about anything and examine them in the eyes of our faith, whether it is illegal immigration, you know, gun control and our Second Amendment, whether it's life or end-of-life issues, whether it's politics. We have got such a rich teaching within the Catholic Church, and there's not an issue that we talk about here that does not have a moral perspective to it. And we've got to get those issues right. I hope that you find it enriching and inspiring and educational and diverse.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Can't you understand what's happening here? Don't you see what's happening? Potter isn't selling, Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicky and he's not, that's why. He's picking up some bargain. Now, we can get through this thing, all right. We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
Talking money this half hour as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio. It's Glenn in for John today. Bill Ulivieri is with us. We're going to talk about Pope Francis and the 1%. Now, Bill, our Holy Father had some harsh words about not taking care of the poor, and we know that is very close to his heart, that from yesterday's general audience. But we have some some of the Holy Father's principles that we can put to good use when it comes to taking care of ourselves long into retirement.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Glenn. I know that the title Pope Francis and the 1% seems like he is aligning himself with the upper 1%, but I'm just going to put a little twist on that particular title and realized, you know, as I was preparing for today's talk, that Pope Francis was almost a year ago, he wrote the encyclical Laudato Si, Praise Be to You, My Lord. And so he did that on May 24, 2015, and in the very beginning opening dialogue, he addresses the encyclical to every person living on this planet. And so he does have a great concern for the poor. And one of the ways Pope Francis addresses the concerns of the poor is to make sure that people who, like us, we are not wasting, that we don't fall into extreme consumerism or materialism, and that even when we waste food, we're actually stealing from the poor. And so, you know, I really wanted to address that topic because I think it's really important, you know, for us to keep things in perspective.
That is such a great point in terms of waste, and it's not just a matter, even when we think of, say, we're at the restaurant and we don't finish our enormous meal that everything is served up as anymore, but to go beyond just, you know, the extra French fries on the plate there, but everything that goes into it along with the mindset, too.
Exactly. I mean, when I first heard the Pope talk about that, about not wasting food, I really did think about the things that my parents, in the common phrase, like there's starving people in China, could eat that. And I don't think the Pope means for us just to, you know, scrape this food off and put it into a doggy bag and take it home to our animals. I mean, for me, it's much more than that, because every little bit of waste that we create is really a vicious cycle. And just a few dollars of extra food in appetizers or the food that goes to waste, there's an entire production line that I think the Pope is trying to address. I mean, from a spiritual side, you know, the lack of respect for my kids. You know, when I'm putting in 40 to 60 hours a week and the money that I earn for my food, if my kids are wasting food, that's a lack of respect for me, which is a spiritual issue. It's a lack of respect for my wife who prepares each meal. It's a lack of gratitude for the abundance that we have in terms of electricity or natural gas when we microwave or we cook our food. It's the incredible amount of energy that it takes to run a grocery store. I mean, the grocery store has to ship the food. They have to stock it, insure it. They have to keep it fresh. You know, every time you walk into a grocery store, they've got the freezer section and the refrigerator sections practically wide open. You need to wear a parka when you go into these places because it's so cold. And even the farmer, you know, the farmer wastes, I shouldn't say waste, the farmer uses and consumes a lot of energy, you know, to plant the seed, to water it. Fertilizer takes an incredible amount of energy to produce. You know, harvesting, drying the grain, storing it, insuring it. I mean, this takes up massive amounts of resources that we really don't even generally think about, or we don't take into consideration when we go to the grocery store, because honestly, our food chain is pretty efficient. And when it's pretty inexpensive to eat, all things considering, you know, for our lifestyle. So I think the Pope really wants us to take a more somber look at what we do. And this is just not about finishing the food on our plate. It's about maybe taking a little bit less and just being a little bit more of a good steward for things we really take for granted.
Talking, taking care of a business. And boy, talk about laying it on us in terms of, I mean, I had that when I was little too, you know, finish your plate, the kids are starving, you're going to sit on the basement steps till you finish. And I think there might be a bowl of petrified peas in the corner downstairs to this day because of that not working so well. But yeah, when you think about that, and yet after all of that effort, it's still relatively cost effective for most of the U.S. to eat, but that's not the case for everyone. But when we think about the leftover portion there, okay, we can either waste that, or if we can save that and take, you know, we're not thinking literally saving that food there, but taking care to that little extra to put that to good use by saving it. When we talk about being good stewards of our money, that can really go a long way, Bill.
It really does, and I think that, you know, this is, like I said, this is more than just saving a little bit of food. This is also that the Pope explains that, you know, when we suffer from consumerism and poverty, that these are not really an economic problem. These are ethical problems. These are spiritual problems. This is a deficit that we have within our own souls that is really causing this. And so what I'd like to do is, when I talked about the 1%, I want to challenge the listeners of Relevant Radio just to do one thing. So I would like the listeners to spend 1% of 1 week looking for ways to uncover and eliminate waste in your own investment accounts or retirement accounts, 401ks, whatever it is. And it can be actually, it can touch any portion of your life. But because I'm an investment advisor, this is naturally the area that I want to focus on. So, you know, we have perpetual adoration at our chapel. There's 168 hours per week that the chapel is open. So 1% of that is roughly about 100 minutes. And if what we're talking about, Glenn, is actually a spiritual endeavor in terms of reducing waste in every aspect of our life, I want to challenge listeners to take 100 minutes out of the week, bring your statements in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the tabernacle, and I want you to try to figure out a way of saving 1%, because I am telling you, a 1% savings in your retirement account isn't just going to benefit the person or the, you know, seeking retirement. We're talking about money that can be redirected to more charitable endeavors. It can go to, you know, help fulfill our corporal works of mercy. It can be used to donate to Relevant Radio and other, you know, worthy and charitable organizations. There is so much waste in our investments and in our portfolio. It boggles my mind when I think that, you know, it was just a few weeks ago, Relevant Radio had a fund drive, trying to raise $1.3 million. We could probably find that number within less than 300 Relevant Radio listeners in terms of just taking the waste away. And all things being considered, the rate of return will be about the same.
Bill Ulivieri is an investment fiduciary and owner of Senecal Capital Management, specializing in providing independent 401k advice and portfolio management, joining us on a regular basis here on Morning Air. He's with us for the next 20 minutes or so to answer your questions about investing. If you are ever wondering about anything regarding investing and maybe how far that 1% can go of our time and effort and planning and setting funds aside, he's got answers for you. Our number, 877-766-3777, 877-766-3777. You know, Bill, when we break it down percentage-wise like that, but over time, it can really add up.
And to me, that's the most profound thing, Glenn, and that is, you know, maybe because the market has been trading, you know, fairly sideways in a very short, you know, narrow range for the last 2 or 3 years, I think I've received more phone calls and more outreaches from people saying, hey, what's going on with my account? And that 1%, and sometimes it's more than 1% you can find. Sometimes it's 2 or 3% you can find in terms of savings and being more efficient with your portfolio. But that money is just not a one-time savings. That money is additive, and it grows compounded along with the stock market. So say, for example, you were able to find a $2,000 annual savings that you're able to find just by changing some of the, investment. Well, let's take a little bit more than that. Maybe the last three accounts that I did was roughly $5,000 annual savings. When you save it, it's $5,000. Then next year, it's $10,000 more money. Next year after that, it's $15,000. But that money grows along with the compounded annual, rate of return of the stock market. So a $5,000 or a $5,400 annual saving, which honestly is not that hard to find, okay, this is not a big deal. After 10 years, that money grows into $116,000. I mean, to have another 100 grand plus in your account in 10 years, I mean, that's a profound change in your 401k. And again, Glenn, I'm not just saying this so that people themselves can benefit financially, but this is also a spiritual exercise in waste, in trying to pull back on that. Because if every one of our 56 million potential Relevant Radio listeners has an extra $100,000 in their 401k in 10 years or 15 years, that is a profound amount of money that can be, one, you can live on and donate those hours, right, to charitable organizations. You have more to donate to charitable organizations of your preference. I mean, it relieves a lot of anxiety that people have going into retirement. And honestly, that's, once again, it's a spiritual issue. There's many people who are living without hope, with fear, just saying, you know, I give up. I can't do this. I've got nothing to retire on. When in fact, there's a tremendous amount of savings that they can find in their own retirement accounts.
Finding that waste and turning it into gold, kind of what we're talking about a little bit with investor Bill Ulivieri today. Albert in Illinois has a question. Go ahead, Albert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on the air with us today. I was just kind of wondering, I understand your concept here about eliminating waste, but for kind of a person who's not involved in this area of expertise, what are we looking for is in terms of waste? Are we looking for different, I forget what the term is for what different, investment firms, are we looking for different ratios of what the companies are taking out of our investment?
Yes, Albert, you're 100% spot on. So what's happened is that the most 401k industry has not kept up with the recent changes that have gone on in the industry in the last 15 to 16, maybe even 20 years. So the mutual fund industry in general is a more expensive, more complicated legal structure for investors. And generally that what comes with it is a higher annual fee. And what's come on the market in the last 10 to 15 years are things called exchange-traded funds. And exchange-traded funds have a different legal structure. They're created a little bit different, and they act a little bit different. And because of that, they can be between 20 to 80% less expensive than the actual outright ownership of mutual funds. So if you take the clients that I reviewed this week and over the last 10 days, you know, they've had their 401ks at very popular, and I probably shouldn't name their names, but, every company, there's no company I'm not talking about here, whether it's Fidelity, Ameritrade, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Edward Jones, Waddell Reed, and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, every single one is something that needs to be looked at. And so it's in two ways. It's in the investment advisor fee that your representative charges you on an annual basis, and it's actually the mutual funds that he has purchased or he has allocated for you is where you're going to find the most savings in retirement. And those things can be switched out for products that are much less expensive, and you're going to get the same rate of return in general over time, but you could probably, most people can find a half of a percent just in the investment advisor fee, and another half a percent in the mutual fund fees or more, and that's where you're going to get your 1% out of your portfolio. And if there's anyone who, calls me on the phone and leaves a message or sends me an email, I will teach you exactly how to do it. For those people who want to just, visit my website at www.senecalcapital.com, there's a little button that you can click on called What is Your Risk Number? And if you fill out that survey, I'll do it for you. Okay? I'll do it free of charge.
Albert, thanks for your call. There's room for your call here at 877-766-3777. Back more on investing with Bill Ulivieri as we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio.
Un jubileo della misericordia.
This is the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
Mother Agnes Mary from the Sisters of Life in New York City.
Pope Francis not only announced the Year of Mercy, but then he followed it by saying that every priest would have the faculty to absolve the sin of abortion. And it has resulted for us in a lot of women feeling invited and really permission to move toward the church and to move toward healing. Even though that was always true for priests in the United States, it now has created this freedom in the heart of women.
Sister Agnes Day.
We invite women who are pregnant to actually live with us, and women who come to us seeking healing after abortion. This Year of Mercy is rekindling hope, holding out that invitation to that gift of restoration, which is God's mercy.
Learn more about the Jubilee Year of Mercy at relevantradio.com, keyword Jubilee.
We just have been praying like crazy and trusting that he was going to see this through.
Did you hear what the president said about the Supreme Court ruling that favored the Little Sisters in their lawsuit against the federal HHS mandate that violated religious freedom rights? I'm Sheila Logminas. He applauded it and the court. Beckett Fund attorney Adele Keim is in for a closer look. So is Catholic Vote's Brian Birch, just back from D.C. 6 Eastern, 5 Central, here on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Turn off electronics, carve out time for prayer. It is unnerving. You might be able to only manage 1 minute at a time until you build up on it. So many of the saints did that. They did all this work, but it came out of their relationship with God. That had to come first. When we get it backwards, like Pope Francis says, it doesn't have the life of Christ, the breath of the Holy Spirit to carry our mission forward. Trust the Lord.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
1 minute you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Tricky business, that investing. We're talking with Bill Ulivieri today on Morning Air. It's Glenn in for John. Our number is 877-766-3777. Back to the phones. An anonymous call from the Twin Cities. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I finally made the jump to hire an investment
advisor, and I don't have much of a nest egg. And now it seems like the fees associated with the investment advisor is outweighing what the benefit it is. So at what point in time do you decide this isn't worth doing and I should just go back to what I was doing before?
Well, that's a great question. Well, if it's true that a penny saved is penny earned, then I probably would make that switch as soon as possible. You know, it's not uncommon for me to see that the annual income, like the yield, the income from a portfolio, is less than the annual expense that they paid to the investment advisory firm. It's a very common thing, especially in this low interest rate environment that we find ourselves in. So I think, you know, why put off to tomorrow what you can do today? That would be my call. Yeah.
So one of the things that this firm gets is there's a special, I don't know if it's a mutual fund, that's DFA account, I think is what it is. It seems like that can only be through investors, financial advisors. So is it worth getting out of a DFA fund versus staying in?
I'm not exactly sure the type of product you're talking about, if it's a program that they have you in, or is it an actual investment that they purchased for you, or was it, like some kind of advisor share that he sold you? Why don't you, give me a quick call or send me an email with an exact description of what it is, and I'll look it up for you, and I'll answer your question for you off the air, if that's okay.
Thanks for that call at 877-766-3777. Next, we go to Chicago, listening to AM 950. It's Kathy with a 401k question for Bill. Go right ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I have actually like three involved in that. Number one, I'm 63, and I have a small VALIC account, and I keep borrowing against it. So that's one thing. We've got still some kids in college, and I keep pulling from that. I use it kind of as a savings account. Someone told me that's not such a good idea, number one. Number two, in my husband's account, when the market was going up and down, we were losing, and he's 69, and I put that on freeze, just made it like a savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really know what I'm doing and would like more individual effort put towards it where, and how do we get in touch with you to maybe switch some of this out?
Well, listen, I'm not saying you should switch it out necessarily. What it just needs to do is be reviewed first, and then you make the decision after that. It's like when you go to Mass and your car breaks down, you still kind of, before you get there, you still kind of get the grace even though you didn't make it to Mass. So I'm just trying to inspire the listeners to say, hey, let's take a look at this. Let's not waste. Let's review it. And if there's something we can do, let's do it. If not, we can just leave it alone. And so, again, Kathy, was it? Feel free to contact me. I mean, I don't think I've got enough time to go through every single one of the things that you should do because generally these are complicated issues because there's, like you said, there's college loans behind the scenes, there's your husband's age. All these things need to be taken into consideration before moving stuff around because there may be fees for liquidating what you're doing. So all that needs to be looked at very carefully. I'll be happy to help you with that. Either I can do it for you or I'll direct you to someone that can help you. But I just really appreciate the call, and the fact that you're thinking about it to me is very profound. I think that's really important.
I just wanted to say, if we've got these small pensions, these little pensions coming in,
mm-hmm.
Could we redirect those if we start taking those into something else? I don't know. What you think about that. I guess that's something you have to look at, too. But
Exactly. Everyone is so different.
Okay, fine. On the website, is that it, or do you give a number out, or?
I'll let Glenn give my number out at the end of the episode. But you can find me at senecalcapital.com, just stay on the line, and I'm sure that Cyrus can help you. Give you my contact information. But that's not a problem. It's pretty easy peasy, all things considering.
Thank you, Kathy. Our number is 877-766-3777, 877-766-3777, talking the economy and investing with Bill Ulivieri. Now, you have some money to put away in an IRA or pay off big bills. Yolanda in Chicago wants to know what to do. Bill, go ahead, Yolanda.
Good morning, Bill. My question has to do with self-directed IRAs. I just learned about these, and I was wondering if you could tell me what are the risks involved. One of the things that I'm considering, or my husband and I are considering, is paying off a mortgage of a second home that we own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's even doable or feasible. I've read a little bit about these self-directed IRAs, and I understand that people use them for investment purposes and buying realty or real estate, but I'm concerned about the risks that I don't know about. Can you help me out with this?
Sure. You know, as a general rule of thumb, I do not like people taking withdrawals from their individual retirement accounts or their 401ks because there's penalties involved. That income that comes out is taxed at your current income rates, you know, whether you're in the 20 or 25 or 30% tax bracket. And then when you take that as income, it kind of bumps up it could potentially bump up your tax rate for the next year because the government realizes it is income. So if you're making X number of dollars a year and you take out $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 from your IRA, then that money is added to your income the following year, and you're going to get taxed at a higher rate. So I would do everything you possibly can not to break down that IRA because of the penalties and the tax ramifications. But if it's an absolute necessity, you know, I think that would be a conversation you should have with your with the person that does your taxes or a tax advisor. That's a little bit out of my bailiwick there. That's I don't do taxes. And it's your situation is really has to be looked at in a unique way.
Thanks for that call, Yolanda. Our number is 877-766-3777. Next to Pat in the Twin Cities, listening to Relevant Radio 1330. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes, hi. I have a question about a variable annuity I have. I think it's invested in various mutual funds. It's getting to the end of its 7-year surrender fee.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told by a lot of people it might not be the best investment. There is some guaranteed income things on it and so forth, some riders. But I don't quite know where to put it. It's doing a 5% payout, and it can do it for the rest of my life, but I'm finding that with inflation, all that's not the best thing. I'm wondering possibly about where to move that. The second thing I had was the RMDs that we have to take at 7.5, mm-hmm. and how that affected my income. It tripled all my taxes. But luckily, there's I can't remember the name of the law that was just passed in December by Washington where we can do some of that as a charitable contribution, reduce that for our Social Security and also our, you know, taxes, which helped some. And Relevant Radio was a benefit of some of that, actually.
Excellent.
So those are kind of questions about where to possibly move that or if you have a contact number or something like that. But,
sure. We can give that out at the end of the segment. Yeah, I'd be happy to help direct you with that or help you with it individually if I can. But I think really what's important is before people say, well, what should I do with this money? Where should I put it? There's a big question here, and that is, you know, recently Goldman Sachs downgraded its outlook on the stock market to neutral over the next 12 months. And they just said that there's no particular reason that you should own equities right now or stocks because there's some until we see more signals of growth in the economy. So they're underweighting or going neutral on stock market. They're underweighted and neutral on the bond market. They're underweighted and neutral on commodities. So right now, there's really no cheap, inexpensive bargains out there in terms of any kind of asset class. So you got to be really careful right now. So even with the other caller who said that her husband was in the 70s and the market's going up and down, I think part of this concept of waste and what Pope Francis is talking about, from my perspective, is you just can't go willy-nilly out there and buy a bunch of exchange-traded funds or move into things. It has to be done carefully and prudently because what you don't want to do is just like we don't want to take a double heaping of food when we go to sit down at the table, we don't want to take a double heaping of risk at this point in the economic cycle.
No, we don't. Hey, Pat, thank you so much for that call. Bill, thanks for all your good advice. That's Bill Ulivieri at cynicalcapital.com. The phone number is 847-686-4800. That's 847-686-4800. It can happen in finances in lots of areas of life. Moving beyond your comfort zone. We'll talk about that next. Kim Morgan joins us as we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for listening to this hour of Morning Air on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Morning Air. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Morning Air.